You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
What's inside counts.
So we're, 6 weeks into this series, just a couple more weeks to go, and we've been talking about who we are as a church, who MC3 is, why we do things the way we do, and let's see, we talked about the first week just kind of the whole process and how discipleship and following Jesus is a process. It's not something that just happens. It's not instant. And then we talked about prime groups and the importance of community and relationships and why you need other Christ followers in your life, and you need to be receiving from them and giving to them. In terms of what you have to offer. And then we talked about the worship experience and what you're in right now and why we do things a little bit differently, and because we want to draw people from outside the church in. We're not a church for church people. We want to be a church for people that have no experience with church. And we talked about, the next week, we talked about missions. And our missions team, MC3 missions team, shared about our partnership with Trigo y Miel in Oaxaca. Just throwing out the official pronunciations there, in Oaxaca, and looked about why we focus our missions in one area. And then last week, ATU All Tuned Up hijacked the worship experience as we talked about family and the importance that you have as a parent to disciple your own kids. As a church, we want to come alongside you and help you with that. And so if you weren't here last week, you missed a lot of fun. It was actually a really, really crazy stuff that went down. But today I want to talk to you about the difference that 3 feet can make. The difference that 3 feet. So I'm talking about this, not, you know, like the knights who say knee. I know they had 3 heads. I was trying to decide, do they have 3 feet or not? Anybody? No? The knights who say knee? No? Okay, anyway. All right. It's just because I'm old. Anyway, the difference that 3 feet can make, and 3 feet can make a lot of difference depending on the scenario within which you find yourself. If you're in a pool, especially an in-ground pool that's like a private backyard pool, not like a swim club pool or something like that. But if you've ever been in a pool that is an in-ground pool, it's like your family, friends, you have one, and it's got that deep end and the shallow end. And if you know what those pools are like you've got like 2 inches of shallow, and then there's like a drop-off, and then there's the deep end. And so 3 feet can mean the difference between like breathing happily or struggling for your life, right? 3 feet, the difference. That's what. So here you're all right. Here you're not all right. And you know, I've been in pools where the bottom is so slippery that you're like, oh, I can do this, you know, and then you're, you know, dead. But I made it back. I'm okay. So 3 feet can be that. 3 feet perhaps can affect things like, you know, the difference between 3 feet may affect where you, I don't know, decide to place the camera.
Dangerous game kids play is to tunnel in snowbanks near the road. A few years ago, one boy
So 3 feet can make a difference there. There's a story, and apparently this is like well known in leadership circles. This story about a guy, and I can get his name right here. His name was R.U. Darby, which, come on, is that for real? Like, anyway, Seymour, anyway, the other names like that, and Phil. Anyway, so R.U. Darby was this guy, you know what I'm talking about, you were in middle school too. But R.U. Darby was this guy who back in the 1800s was caught up in the gold rush out west, and he went to this plot, a place, like a gold place diggy spot. Stake, claim. Yeah, he went to his claim. He staked his claim. That was marked it off. So he went to his claim and started digging for gold and found some. And they're like, wow, this is really cool. And so he hired all this heavy equipment to come in and come in and start digging. And so they found this original group, you know, just kind of from the hand mining and refining and all that stuff, whatever you call that, panning. And they found gold. And so they brought in all this heavy equipment, spent tons of money in on stuff, and got all their family in and started digging. And they were digging with this equipment and went digging for months. And they were sure that there was gold there. And after months of this, the guy finally gave up. Darby gave up and sold all the equipment in the claim for what it was junk. And this guy bought it for like nothing. And so this other guy comes in and begins digging. and 3 feet later hit the world, one of the biggest gold, not the world's, but one of the biggest gold resource areas, whatever you call that, mines, veins. Yeah, all right. Starting well. All right, so anyway, he wanted to hit one of the biggest veins of gold in the country. The difference was 3 feet from this one guy giving up and quitting and selling it all for nothing, and this other guy who became a millionaire. So 3 feet makes a difference. 3 feet sometimes makes a difference when you're trying to park a car, because sometimes that 3 feet is just enough to make it a challenge. So yeah, 3 feet makes a difference, something like that. Did you see the clock there? I don't know if you all could see that, but that was about 3 minutes and 12 seconds, I believe, when it was finally parked. It took that long. So 3 feet makes a difference. Sometimes 3 feet means the difference between you getting the parking spot that you want and someone else taking it. So yeah, so 3 feet can make the difference. There's some other things that 3 feet can make the difference for. What else do we have? Oh, 3 feet can mean the difference between keeping your job or losing it if you're the Steelers field goal kicker. Yeah, that would be Josh Scobie, the former kicker. Yeah, so the difference for Josh Scobie meant 3 feet, losing his job as the kicker for the Steelers. So 3 feet can make a difference in a lot of different areas. And maybe you know this, maybe you don't. I don't even know if this is true, but again, I read it on the internet, so boom, it's got to be. But the original definition for the yardstick had something to do with some prince king guy from England, and it was apparently the difference between his nose, his head, and like the end of his fingers. Now, I'm apparently not as long-armed as that guy was. But apparently that was what the definition of a yardstick was once upon a time before it became a standard. But this idea of 3 feet between your hands and your head, sometimes that difference is huge. Because a lot of times there are things that we know or feel. We could even talk about our heart. There's things that we know and feel, but it seems that the 3 feet between knowing and feeling it and doing it is huge. And it changes everything. Because we know it, we feel it, but getting to do it, taking the time to be, as we just we're singing there, be the hands and feet of Jesus, is sometimes a huge challenge. And so I want to talk about this morning, this idea of that 3 feet, of going from knowing to doing, from feeling to doing, and the importance of doing what God has called us to be. And so we're going to be talking about this idea, and the point that I want you to understand this week, again, looking at who we are on the inside, that on the inside, C3 opportunities are about caring locally. C3 opportunities are what we call, and we'll talk more about this, but our way of going from knowing things to actually helping and doing and making a difference in people's lives. And we talked a couple weeks ago about MC3 Missions, and we said how MC3 Missions is about caring globally. That's what we do for making a difference globally, but in that one spot in Trigo y Miel in Oaxaca, Mexico. But we're going to look at C3 opportunities. And if you don't know what that is, that's okay, because we're going to come back to that. But this is kind of the idea that I want to talk about, the importance of that 3 feet, of making a difference. So the lights are going to come on. If you have Bible, paper Bible, you can open it. If you've got the YouVersion app, we're going to look in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, I'm in the NIV here, but I think I'm in the NIV, yeah. But you can look at any version you've got there, but YouVersion, tap New Testament, tap Matthew, tap chapter 5, and that's where we'll be. Again, the lights are there for paper. But I want to look at this passage, and this is Jesus talking, and this is part of what is called, if you're in church circles, if you grew up in church, you might have heard of the Sermon on the Mount. And that's what this was, because he was giving a sermon on a high spot, so it was on a mount. So they called it the Sermon on the Mount. And in the middle of this, he shares this. He says, he's talking to his followers, talking to followers of Jesus, who he is the one speaking. So that's his followers, his disciples, as the rabbis. He was the one that was leading them around, as we learned in the first week of this series. But he says to them, he says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And so I want to look at this idea of what it means to care, of what it means to do, to go this next step between, yeah, we know and we feel, but going to what does it mean to do and why? Why has God called us as followers of Jesus to make a difference in other people's lives? Why has he called us to do things for others? And just kind of, and I want to challenge us because, again, some of this is brand new, then you know, take what you can get. But I think a lot of this is familiar. Yeah, of course God wants us to do good things. We're supposed to do good deeds, and we'll come back to that phrase in a little bit. But I think we know that, and we know we should. I don't think anyone's here like, nope, God doesn't want me to help anybody. That's dumb. I think it's stupid. And you talk like that. I don't know why. But we know that. We know that God wants to do good things. But the problem is these three feet. Because there's something happens here, I don't know what it is, that we know and feel, but we have a hard time doing. And so I just want to challenge us along those lines, to fix that 3 feet and to make a difference, to be doing things, to care for people, and we'll come back to what caring means in terms of our philosophy as a church. But the idea of filling that 3 feet. So the first thing I want you to understand when you look at this passage is that you, every one of you, say "I" out loud right now. Say "I." I. Okay, so that's you. You get that, right? I'm not talking to the person next to you. I mean, I am, but I'm talking to you because you were made to make a difference. You were made to make a difference. I don't want you to sit here and be like, I guess they were, but yeah, I don't know about me. No. You were made to make a difference. God made you to make a difference. And this is what he says as Jesus is sharing all this. He going back to the verse here, he says in verse 13, he says, "You are the salt of the earth." He's talking to his followers. So if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, Jesus is talking to you today. You are the salt of the earth. Now, salt is something that, honestly, when I was growing up, we had a family friend that had heart problems. And was honestly in the hospital a lot with heart problems. And my dad was always like, "Yeah, do you ever see him? He salts all of his food." So I never touched salt. It just seemed, it was like a bad thing. I never, you know, not even in moderation, whatever that. I'm a salt user in moderation. Hi, my name's Sean. But I never used it even, we didn't touch salt. It just was this thing. Because we knew this guy had lots of heart problems. And that was the association that my parents made. Well, then I got married. And Kendra just opened my eyes to salt. And again, I'm not talking about like, you know, licking a horse, right? No, horses, you don't lick a horse. Horses lick salt. Salt lick, yeah, city boy. Okay, cool. I'm not talking about like something like that concentrated. But yeah, don't lick a horse. That's just weird. But all of a sudden, salt, and the way salt works, right? It's got two purposes. We don't really use it for the second one as much anymore. But if you put salt on food, it is a saltinator. And it draws out the flavors that are already in existence in the food. Like, salt doesn't change the flavor. Actually, it's something about the way the salt works with your taste buds, and it draws out the flavor of the food. So when you use salt, all of a sudden something that's good is really good. It draws out the flavor, and now I'm like, wow, this is great stuff. You know, we should use this more often. So I put salt on things, not a lot. You know, it's not, you don't want to get overboard, and it could be a health problem, I'm sure. But it draws out flavor. The other thing that salt was used for, and we don't use it as much anymore, but it was used as a preservative. And it was the way things were preserved. You would salt your meat and then leave it in the salt to stay preserved. That's the technical definition of how that works. So you would salt the meat, and it was used as a preservative. And so Jesus is saying to us, to you, to me, to you, to I, that you are the salt of the earth. You are a flavor enhancer for the world. Look at the person next to you. This is all, I'm going crazy today, I know. I'm making you talk. Say to the person next to you, you got flavor. You got flavor. Because they've got flavor. You are made to enhance the flavor of the earth. That is why God made you. He says that's what you are. You, as a follower of Jesus, are made to enhance the flavor of the earth. But he goes on and says, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. One of the other translators, or one of the other Gospels, the versions of Jesus sharing this, he writes, it's not even good for the manure pile. Jesus is saying, if you lose your saltiness, you're not even good for crap. That's how bad it is. He says, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? He says, you were designed to be a flavor enhancer. If you don't have any more flavor, if you're not salting things, if you're not enhancing the flavor of what is around you, you're worthless. I mean, imagine sitting down to dinner. You got in front of you, I don't know, a nice steak or chicken or lettuce, if that's your thing. No, lettuce wouldn't. Well, we'll use lettuce too. Okay, so you're allowed to eat lettuce. It's good for you. But you're sitting down at the table and you're like, all right, looking good. I'm gonna dig into this. You got your steak knife because it's a very hard lettuce. And you got your steak, your lettuce, your chicken, whatever your thing is, okay? And then you grab your salt shaker, and it's not one of those clear crystal ones. It's a solid one. And you shake it out, and you put sand all over your food. Because it's not salt, it's sand in that salt shaker. I mean, imagine how awful that is. You ever run to the beach and try to eat a lunch at the beach? I mean, you're like... And you know, when you swim in the ocean, there's that salt flavor in the ocean, which doesn't really parallel this. But sometimes I like to chew gum just to kind of kill some of that salty flavor. You ever get sand in your gum? Man, it's like going to the dentist and having them use that thing. Like okay. Anyway, so the point is that sand. I mean, that's another word for saltless salt, right? It's just chunks of rock that have no flavor. And he says, if you lose your saltiness, you're worthless. And so Jesus is saying to you, you were designed to be a flavor enhancer. You were designed for a purpose. God wants you to be the salt of the earth. But if you're not salty, what's the point? Then he goes on and says, you are the light of the world. He's making another analogy here, another illustration that you, as a follower of Jesus, are the light of the world. That's pretty intense. Salt of the earth, light of the world. I mean, for everyone. And he says, a city built on a hill cannot be hidden. And he's just being straight up. Like, this is just observation. This is standard science thingies. My words aren't working today. But a city on a hill can't. I mean, if you have ever, as a matter of fact, the other day I went down to visit my mom in Delaware, and on the way back it was nighttime, and we were on 322, and we were way, way far away from, is it Miller's? Town. I know it's not Millersville. Millerstown? That's the one? Okay. All right. So we were really far from Millerstown, but like the entire sky was lit up. Like there was just this glow. And we were, you know, I as soon as I saw it, I said to my daughter, I said, Cara, you know, what's over there? And we get out there, look, tell me what you see. And you know, it was a football stadium there. And the football stadium was lit up to watch football. And Jesus is saying the same thing, like, you can't even hide. If you have a city on a hill, if you have a bright light in the middle of a dark sky, it can't be hidden. It's not possible. It lights up everything. I remember when we were living in Texas, we drove to Austin and San Antonio a couple times to visit. We live in Dallas. And I remember just that weird, I mean, Texas is flat. So there are no cities on a hill there. Texas is flat. But, I mean, literally hours out of Dallas, you could see the glow from the city in the sky. Like, it was that, like, you're hours away from getting there driving, and there's just this glow. Because you can't hide something like that. And so Jesus is saying, you are the light of the world. You're like a city on a hill. You can't hide that brightness. It's going to shine. And then he says, just another illustration, people don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. There's a definition for that. Stupid. Why would you do that? Oh, let me light this lamp and cover it. Okay. All right. You know, and depending on how that lamp works, if it's like fire, you'd probably like burn your bowl. If it's a wooden bowl, I don't know. But you don't do that. You don't put it under a bowl. Instead, what do? You put it on a stand. They would put a lamp, a light on a stand to let it light up the house. And, of course, houses back then were, you know, they were one room dealies. This wasn't a multiple place like, you know, our houses would be today. But the idea is that you would light up, you put a light up on a stand. You put it in a high spot so that it gives light to the whole room. That is the point of light. And Jesus says that you are the light of the world. That is who you are. You are created with a purpose. You were made to make a difference. You were to salt the earth. You were to give light to the earth. And what does light do? I mean, it gets rid of darkness, right? I mean, you know that. You remember being 5, having to go to the bathroom at night. You had a couple options. Kind of run over real quick and turn on the light so that nothing got you in the dark. Or just pee your bed. That was my option. Then you'd have to get up. You'd have to worry about all that stuff. You didn't have the scary stuff. You didn't sleep near the edge of the bed because it was dark over there. There could be things down there. Oh, don't even look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. You know you're afraid of it now still. Light, when you turn on light, it gets rid of darkness. The other night we had a meeting here. And the light out back was burned out. We don't know that because we don't usually use this building at night. And it's dark out there. It's kind of scary. You want to know that there isn't someone hiding in the darkness around the corner waiting to get you. So we turn on lights because it gets rid of the darkness. And Jesus says that you are that light. That as followers of Him, you are the light of the world. That He created you. He made you so that you can make a difference. Because your job, and I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit, but your job is to show the light. Is to show people the way out of darkness. So you were made on purpose. And the word here, I've missed all my fun stuff. You can go back for a second there for me. Sorry. This idea of losing its saltiness, the word means, it's actually, the Greek word here is moraino. And it means to lose saltiness or to be made foolish. So I don't know if this is related to the word moron. But it sounds like it, and if it sounds like it, that might be good enough for me. That's very scholarly, I understand. But he says, if the salt loses its saltiness, if the salt is moraino, then what's the point? If the salt has become a fool, it's tasteless, it's inert. He says it's not worth it. And he says it's no longer good for anything. I said, you know, to be thrown out. The other, I think it was Mark that says it's not even fit for the manure pile. The word thrown out, oxo, is a same word is used in other spots in the Bible as vomit, as throw up. So if you have lost your flavor, if you are not doing what God created you to do, you're just worth, you know, it's just like being thrown up. Vomit is the equivalent there. So that's the whole point here is that we are created. Now you can go ahead. We are made to make a difference. So understand that you were made to make a difference. And we just need to make sure that foundation is there, that God has designed you for a purpose. You have something to offer, every one of you, no matter how old, no matter how young, no matter how rich, no matter how poor, no matter how, I don't know, if you're a Steelers fan, even Cowboys fans, even Cowboys fans, God has a purpose for them. I don't know what it is. But everyone was made to make a difference. So if you understand, there's some things that Jesus then goes on and talks about what it means to be this light, to be the one making the difference. And so the first thing is that being a light must be good. And again, some of this is like no-brainer, but at the same time, there seems to be a problem from here to here. So maybe we need to go back to some of the no-brainer obvious things and make sure that we get that, because maybe that's going to change this distance. Maybe that's going to fix this problem. And so the first thing is that being a light must be good. That if you are being a light, it is a good thing. You are doing good things. And that's what Jesus says. He says, in the same way, let your light shine. He goes on there. In the same way, just as he's talking about the city on a hill, just as he's talking about the lamp on a stand, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds. And I think this is important to understand, that when we are doing something for other people, who are we doing? What's our motive in that? Are we doing it because it's a good thing for that person, or are we doing something good because we hope that they'll do something back for us? A couple months ago, our neighbors, we have new neighbors next door, and they were on vacation for a couple of weeks. And so I went and mowed their lawn. It was getting tall out front. I really enjoy mowing. It's like my fun time. I know, it's weird. And I like the lines and the edges and all that stuff. And so I mowed the lawn, and I remember when I didn't even mean to tell her, but somebody told them. I didn't want them to know. Really, I didn't care. But I remember how every time I would see our neighbors, they'd be like, oh, hey, we'll mow your lawn sometime. We'll mow your lawn sometime. And it was interesting just trying to get them to understand, like, I didn't do it so that you would do it for me. Like, that's not the point. I just did it because it was a good thing to do. Because your grass was tall, you were gone, I'm here. Why not do that? And so I think it's important when we look at what we do for others, we have to ask that question. Why are we doing it? Are we really doing it because it's a good thing? Or are we doing it to get something out of it? Or are we doing it because, you know, that's what they expect us to do? I mean, there's so many different motives that go into this. But it's important to realize that if we are doing something for the sake of another person, let's make sure it's a good thing. And let me tell you this too, right? Sometimes, and this is just reality of life, sometimes something that is good for a person is not what they want. And I'll just throw that out there. I mean, you guys, if you're a parent, you know this. Your kids might want something, but you don't give them what they want. You give them what they need. And so just get that. So when it comes to doing things for other people, when it comes to making these hands move from the head and heart, make sure that what you're doing is a good thing. That it is something that is right, it is appropriate, it is healthy. You know, I mean, if you're like, hey, I saw what that guy did, I'll help you egg his car. Like, that's probably not a good thing. Don't do it that way. So make sure that as we are the salt and the light, our job is to be doing good things for others. Things that will benefit them. That will be something that will help them in, you know, whatever it is. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe you need to say something to someone. Maybe it's physical. You need to give them something, you know. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe they need a hug. You know, whatever you do, you know, keep that in mind, that what we're doing that you're doing is a good thing, that it's a good deed. The Greek word good means perfect, whole, beautiful, wonderful. And so if we're doing anything for anything less than that for other people, don't call it a good deed. I mean, I guess that's what it comes down to. That when we see other people, when we see needs, let's do the things that are really good to do. So that's the first thing, is that you're being a light must be good. It has to be a good thing. If you're doing something that's negative, if you're doing it for your own benefit, then it's not good. The second thing is that, let me say this too, by the way, that if you do bad things, and bad things, that sounds so like you're talking to a 3-year-old or something. But if you do, people are watching you, I guess is what it comes down to. People are watching you. People might know. Hopefully they have some clue that maybe you're a follower of Jesus. Not that you have to be like, you know, throwing tracks and you have a billboard and whatever. But just the people, there's something different about you. And as they see you, what are they seeing? Is it a good thing? Or is it a bad thing? And unfortunately, we notice the negative far more than we notice the positive. As soon as you mess up, as soon as you beat your thumb with a hammer and go, crap, they're like, see, I knew it. You call yourself a Jesus lover? No, my finger is broken. It hurts, so I'm going to scream something. Should I have said that? Probably not. But I'm human. But I'm just saying that this is the reality. People will notice that. And, of course, they can go even further down the road like, yeah, that's what I always expected. I was just waiting for that moment for you to mess up because you say you're a follower of Jesus, but clearly you're not perfect. And I don't think any of us are. That's the whole point of Jesus, because we're not perfect. But I'm digressing, going off the subject. So being a light must be good, just keeping that in mind, that when people see you, there's some good things there. The second thing is that being a light will be work. Being a light will be work. This, I think, is really important to understand. It's not easy. It's not easy to do things for other people for a number of reasons. One, because we're selfish sinners, right? From birth. I'm pretty sure the little Adeline right away wasn't saying, hey, mom, hey, dad, how can I help? Probably screaming, change my diaper. I want to eat. I want to eat again. Now I'm tired, change my diaper. I want to eat, change my diaper. And then, like, that's the first 15 minutes, you know? But we start selfish. We are selfish people. And so sometimes for us to be unselfish, for us to be caring and doing things for other people, it will require work. It's going to require, at the very least, a mental, like, okay, I'm going to take this step. I'm going to do this for them. And so it's going to be work. It's not going to be easy. And I was just thinking about how strange, and again, I'm sounding old for you guys that are an MC3 student. You're like, oh, why does he always talk like an old guy now? But, you know, once upon a time, life wasn't on demand. Once upon a time, if that was on TV, that's what you watched. Or you didn't watch TV. You didn't get to like, oh, well, let's scroll through. Let's choose. What do I want to watch? What do I want to do? I mean, life wasn't in snippets. Life wasn't YouTube clips. I mean, and whether that's not bad or good, it is. And we are in a culture that's even more on demand. And the generation before us, you know, I grew up, my generation, we had microwaves. So the idea of heating something in a couple minutes has been the norm. But of course, you know, my parents' generation, that wasn't the case. You had an oven. You had to wait hours and hours for it to preheat and then cook and, you know, whatever. And so we have, you know, our culture, our life has been affected by this idea of instant and of now and of ease and simplicity. And it's not always easy and simple. It's not. And I just want to share that so you understand that right away that we're going to need to work. If we're really going to be a light to the world, if we're really going to be the salt of the earth, if we're really going to make a difference, if you are really going to make a difference for Jesus, it's going to take some work. There's no way around it. It took a little bit of work for Jesus to do what he did too. Cost him his life on a cross. You feel guilty now? That's not the point. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's work. Life, doing these things are work. It's not just sit back and wait for it to happen. It can't. We have to be able to do these kind of things. I think the other thing too is that it's easy for us to feel like we're the ones that need. Well, what about my needs? Why doesn't someone help me? Why doesn't someone help me? I have stuff that I need to be done. That's true. We all do. And I was sharing at the big meeting with all the ministry teams here on Monday, you know, if they look around that room, everyone has a lot of responsibility. Everyone has a lot of things that are really important in what they do. And so it's easy for us to sit down and be like, oh, well, my job is really hard. Well, what about that? No, everybody has needs. We all do. But Jesus hasn't called us to be takers. He's called us to be givers. And so we have to step away from, yeah, I know, by doing this, I might lose out on something. By doing this, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but it's going to require some work. And I think all of us, and again, Jesus says you, need to get away from sort of this victim mentality and say, well, when are people going to help me? Or why aren't they helping me? Or I have things that I need. No, step out of that. That's not what Jesus has called us to do. He's called us to be the light. To be the salt, to be active, to be working. And this is what he says. I'll just tell you what he says there. He says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. And the word deeds here is ergon. And it means work, toil, labor. It's not a word that means sit back and someone will bring it to you. It's not a word that means anything simple. It's a hard word. And so he says, let your light shine before others, the world, the earth, that they may see your good deeds, your good hard work, because it's work. It just is. And so, you know, there's here's just something that's in terms of church, and you know, church world, and looking at things as far as MC3 and why it's important. Like, and I said, you, this is important for you. But as a church, there's some reasons we do this too, and we'll come to this in a moment. But there's a quote here from a guy named Dave Ferguson, who wrote a book called Exponential, and some of his book influenced kind of the inception, the beginning of MC3. And he writes here, he says, you know what they're talking about. He says, my best estimates tell me that at least one-third to one-half of the American population will never come to the churches like you and I attend. He says, up to 50% of the population will not come to a church-owned facility, no matter how cool or how engaging it looks and feels. So what's the solution? He says, I believe that in the next decade, we will need something more than mega churches and multi-site churches. We'll need reproducing churches filled with missional teams. That's the part I want you to listen to. We're going to need churches that are filled with missional teams that go to the people and don't just expect the people to come to them. These volunteer-led teams will be a part of every church that wants to reach an increasingly diverse world. We can no longer be content asking people to come to us. We need to go to them. And again, we talked a couple of weeks ago about why we make an environment where people at least feel comfortable. But there's people that no matter how amazing this is, won't come in. We need to go to them. And so that's this idea. He says, let your good deeds, it's going to take work. There are going to be people that maybe don't deserve it. Maybe they're not nice to you. Maybe they're a coworker that's just a jerk. But Jesus hasn't called us to sit back and wait for the right people, the nice people, the easy people. He says we need to go and let our good deeds, our hard work, shine before others. It's going to take work. It's going to require you to do something. So, first of all, it's going to, being a light requires, what does it require? I said, it must be good. The second is that it will be work. And the third thing is why we do this, is that being a light is for God. And I think this is important to understand too. I think perhaps this will change this distance here. Because we're not doing it. You are not doing it. Should not be doing it. So that people say, oh, you are awesome. Man, you are so good. Oh, you're just a great person. Yeah, you're wonderful. Just shut up and dance with me, okay? Like, I mean, really. Like, what really is it going to take for me to tell you how amazing you are? I mean, that is not the goal. The goal is so that people will look to God. So that people will look to Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus says. He says, in the same way, again, if you haven't heard this already, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Glorify, the word doxazo. If you grew up in church, you might have heard of a thing called the doxology. It's this word that means just to give honor, to give worship, to give praise, to give props, to recognize, to celebrate. And so Jesus says, look, you guys, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your good deeds shine so that they can see them. And when they see what you do, say, wow, you've got an incredible God. How can I have some of him? Wow, he is amazing. I want some of that. Wow, what is it that is different about you? How do you make it through that? How can you deal with that tragedy? How can you deal with that pain? What is it about you that is so incredible? And your answer needs to be Jesus. Because that's the point. That's the difference. That's what fixes this. Because it's not about me. It's not about me feeling comfortable or easy. It's about saying, I want to do this for you so that people see Jesus. Because that's what matters. That's the difference. 3 feet can mean the difference for someone's eternity. Have you thought about that? And again, and we'll talk about this in a moment. I know I keep coming back to this, but there's tension here. There's things that are kind of chaotic. And sometimes, you know, there are needs all around us at all times. And we have to make wise choices. But just understand that thing that you do might be the difference. And that's not meant as a guilt trip. It's not meant as a layer. It'd be like, oh, I have to kill myself doing all these things and stretch myself so thin. No, there's other things that come into play here. But just recognize that sometimes we see needs and we're like, that's going to be too hard. So we don't do it. And that hard thing might be the difference for their eternity. And eternity is a long time. It might be because they see what you have done and say, tell me more about it. And it might be something as simple, you know, do you go to church? Like, what is this? What is it about you? Maybe you share with them about your relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's just, hey, you know, this is what Jesus has called me to do. Maybe it's just a simple phrase like that. Maybe you invite them to MC3, whatever, and hopefully we have an environment that you can feel comfortable bringing people in. But that's the idea, is that it's not about us. It's not about MC3. It's not about you. You are the light, but your job is not to shine the light on you. It's to shine it on him. And if you don't know how to do that, you can listen to our superstar series that we did back in March, I believe it was, all about how Jesus is the star, not us. MC3church.org. There you go. So understand that you were made to make a difference. And if you're going to make a difference, you need to be a light. And being a light has to be a good thing. You have to do, like, if it's not good, don't do it. And it's going to be work. Understand that sometimes, it is always easier not to do anything. It is always easier not to do anything, at least in that moment. I mean, you're driving down the road. You see that the fuel tank is on E. It's stinking winter in Pennsylvania. So that means it's lasting for years. There's layers of snow on the ground, and it's like 2 degrees outside because it's a warm day. And you're in your car. You've been driving for, you know, a good bit because the heat's on. It's comfortable. Feels good. You have some options. There's the gas station. It's on E. The light's flashing. Sure does feel good in that car, though. So you measure the distance, and you're like, you know what? I think I'm not going to do anything about this. Cool. Yeah. For that moment, that instant, you didn't have to get out of the car. You knew the cold, and your face gets, like, instantly chapped. The wind is blowing, and everything about you that was warm is no longer warm, and the heat escapes, and you have to go and pump the gas and everything. You totally cool. Skip it. Don't waste your time doing something like that. Stay in the car and keep on driving, because it'll feel much better doing that. But in about 15, 20 miles, you're going to have some serious regret, because your car is going to be stopped on the side of the road. And now, instead of walking from here to here, you are now walking from here 10 miles back to the gas station in that cold. The point is, we can definitely take the easy way out, and easier is always going to be easier at the time, but sometimes taking the extra effort is going to make a bigger difference. Make a difference for eternity. And that is the point, that you've been made to make a difference. It must be good. It's going to be work. And the whole point of it, the whole point of why we do things, is not for people to say how great we are. It's not for people to have to see how great our church is. Like, it's not about us. It's about him. That's why he has made us the salt. That's why he has made us the light, so that we can make a difference for him. So on the inside, C3 opportunities are about caring locally. And so now we're going to talk, what is it that C3 opportunities are all about? What does caring locally mean? What does caring even mean? And for some of you, if this is your first time here, this is all going to be like, whoa, I'm just going to blow you away with stuff, because we've been talking about this for the last 5 weeks, so it's boring to most people and brand new for you. But we looked, when we first started MC3, we're like 4 years ago, and actually, what day is today? What's today? The 11th. Okay, so this coming Thursday is our four-year anniversary. So on October 16th, 4 years ago, is when the first launched worship experience here at MC3. So we're coming up on 4 years. So 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, we said, what, you know, if we're going to make a church that's different, that kind of has a different feel, a different flavor, if we're trying to reach people that are far from Jesus, we kind of want to do things differently. We looked at this passage, how did the first church do it? How did the church in Acts do it? And there was a description in Acts chapter 2, and again, this is all review for you. Acts chapter 2, and it said, this is kind of what the early church did, and it says they devoted themselves. First of all, they were devoted. They were committed to it. Are you committed? I've asked that every week. Are you committed to this? If you can't be committed to who MC3 is, if you're a guest here, you can just smile at this and nod all you want. But if you're a regular part of MC3 and you can't be devoted to who we are, you probably should go somewhere else. And I don't say that because we don't want you here. But I'm saying that God has called us to be committed and to love his body and his church. So you need to go somewhere where you can be devoted to God's church. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. We talked about all that stuff the last few weeks. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and everything in common, the whole point of prime groups. And then it goes on, verse 5, says 45, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. So it said they sold things and gave to the people that were in need. And then it goes on and says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And this week you're going to have more time to unpack that phrase, enjoying the favor of all people, in your prime groups. And if you haven't signed up, there's sign-up sheets out there on the info table. But enjoying the favor of all people. So we looked at this passage. Now at this point, we have covered everything. We have looked and broken down every part of this passage, and we saw this. And here's a little chart, here that says, first we saw that there was community. We looked through and we saw this idea of community and relationships, and so we have created prime groups for that purpose. And then we saw that there was a congregation, that the church gathered for worship and teaching together. That's what the worship experience is. And then we saw that the third thing, and this is the new part, is that there was this aspect of caring. That they sold possessions and gave to the people as they had need. And it said that everyone, the whole community, everybody, and this isn't just the church people, but the unchurched people were glad that the church was there. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. And I think that Jesus would say, his phrase for this would be, let your light shine that they may see your good deeds and glorify God in heaven. They enjoyed the favor of all people. And so for how we do caring in this passage, and this is it, this is all that we do as a church, these three things, is what we call C3 opportunities. And it's this idea of doing things for other people. And so so that's kind of our philosophy. And of course, this isn't on the chart there, but we also said you could draw a line down the middle, and the left side is loving others, and the right side is loving God, because we've been called to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so caring is part of that, loving your neighbor as yourself. That is the third part of what we do as a church. Why we don't do a billion other things, because we want to focus on doing these things and doing them well. So, C3 opportunities, caring. What are C3 opportunities? And some of you guys know this. Some of this, again, is review, and it's okay to review. It's okay to remember, because apparently we have a problem. I have a problem, because my problem is I know it, but I don't do it. So how do we do that? So let's look at just a few things about why we have what we call C3 opportunities. And why do we call it C3 opportunities? Because we couldn't come up with a creative name. That's the best we got. It's C3. C3 is caring, and so we'll call them C3 opportunities. You don't always win every time. So Penn State has been, though. We'll see what happens next week. Anyway, so C3 opportunities. Inside C3 opportunities, why do we do what we do with C3 opportunities? What are they? What's the point? The first thing is you need to understand that C3 opportunities are personal, then primal. They're personal, then primal. And again, we started out with this idea that you are the salt of the earth, that I am the salt of the earth. MC3 Incorporated, Mifflin County Community Church Incorporated, is not the light of the world. Okay? It is not the salt of the earth. Mifflin County Community Church, as the church of followers, a group of followers of Jesus, because that's what the church really is, it's not the building. Yes. You, as MC3, are the salt of the earth. I, as MC3, am the salt of the earth, are the light of the world. But do you see the difference there? The organization, the corporate entity, isn't who God has called to reach the world. He has called the people who are the church to reach the world. So that means it's personal. And here's the deal, right? We've talked about this before. The idea behind it, this will kind of expand more as we continue to talk, but the idea behind it is that if you see a need, meet it. If you see someone that has an issue or a problem or a need, and you are able to meet that need, do it. If you are at your house, you're sitting on your porch, and across the street, your little old neighbor lady pulls in, and she's just come from the grocery store, and she gets out of her car, and walks over to her trunk, and opens the door, and starts to grab one of the bags, picks it up, and walks, and 10 minutes later, she's made it to her door, and then she comes back, and you sit there and think, wow, she could really use some help. So you get out your phone. Hey, Sean. Yeah, I was wondering if you could have the church come and help my neighbor. She needs some help with her groceries. You laugh. You know how many times you get calls like that? The issue is that you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So if you see a need and you can do it, do it. Do it. Make a difference. And if there's a spot, if you see that need and you know what, both my legs are broken right now. I just was in a skiing accident and I can't do that. Fair enough. Like there's no guilt in this, but don't kind of pass it off to someone else. It's our job, your job, my job to be salt and light. So it's personal, but here's the cool part about it and why we have prime groups. If you're not in a prime group, you are missing a key part of what it means to be the church. Because they're primal next. Because then, if you're in a prime group, and maybe your little neighbor lady across the street isn't unpacking her groceries, maybe her shed is falling down. And she's out there with a hammer trying to put a nail into it. And you're like, this is a big deal. And even if you went over there, you couldn't help her. But you could go to your prime group and say, hey, look, guys, here's the deal. My neighbor lady, her shed is falling down. And that's where she keeps all of her salt licks for her horse. And everybody knows that they need to be sheltered from the elements. And so you get your touch with the prime group and you say, hey, can we meet this need? Can we help her? And of course, your prime group leader, they would probably know and say, have you tried yourself? Oh, you know what? I can't. It's more than I can handle. Okay, cool. Let's see what we can do. We can do that. And then maybe it's something where it's like, you know what? Your prime group leader, you get together and you're like, wow, that's a big shed. Maybe this is something a little bit bigger. Maybe we need some money because she's going to need, a whole new roof for this. And so maybe the issue would come then to the leadership of the church. And right now we don't have a person in this position because we'd like to have someone who is the C3 Opportunities kind of coordinator that just kind of can filter all these things. Because, again, we know that there's tons of needs everywhere. And we physically and financially, you and I and we, can't meet them all. That's okay. We have limited resources, so we need to be wise stewards in how we manage them. But anyway, that might be a situation where we say, yeah, you know what? This is a big deal. And so we might say, hey, guys, Sunday morning, there's somebody's little old lady neighbor. They have a big shed for their salt licks, and they're going to need some money for a roof. So maybe we're going to, if you have some extra money you want to give towards that, then we will put it towards buying a roof. And so that's kind of the way this process works, is that we are here to do that, but it's not the simple cop-out, like, let's just go to the church, have them do it. No, that's not what you're called to be, the salt and the light. So it's a personal thing. And then it goes to prime groups. And I will tell you this too, right? If you're, like, it's easy to sit and be like, how come nobody's helped me with my needs? I've had lots of needs. My first question is going to be, are you in a prime group? And again, I'm not getting paid for having you in prime groups. We're not getting like a bonus check for everybody that's in one. But my question would be is, are you in a prime group? Because chances are your answer will be no. Because if you are in a prime group, most likely, unless you don't go, but most likely your prime group is already aware, hey, there's a need there. And maybe they'll be able to help, but maybe they can't. And, we only have so many resources, so many things that can go around. But if you're in a prime group, that's part of the point, too, is that you're in relationship. So when you have an issue, people know about it. And all of a sudden, you have a whole bunch of people get together and put a roof on someone's house. All of a sudden, someone says, hey, I've got a dryer. Here you go. All of a sudden, these things come and needs are being met. But it starts personally, and then it goes from there. So I hope you get that. And does that sound cruel and mean and heartless? Like, oh, that's what the church is for. Well, you are the church, so be it and do it. Okay. The second thing is that Inside C3 Opportunities says, Meals Ministry and MC3 Missions. She's kind of throwing out some ways that you can be involved in caring for other people. One is, and this is just kind of off the record, it's public, but there's an MC3 meals group. Maybe you're like, I don't know how to do it. I can't build a roof. Well, can you cook? because there is a meals group here when people have surgery, when people have babies. And we had a meals group here, but it was totally, you know, hijacked because MC3 student took it over this last week to make meals for Josh and Danae, their prime group leaders, their student prime leaders. So the students covered it this time, which is awesome. But there is a meal list. Like, if that's a way that you can care for other people, because, you know, you have surgery, or if you're sick, or there's a family issue, you don't want to be thinking about cooking. It'd be nice to have, say, hey, I care. Here's a meal. So that's something you're interested. Totally didn't ask her, but Kara is in charge of that. At least now she can put you on the list. You can also email info@mc3church.org, and we can get you on that list. Another thing is ministry teams. This room would be probably twice as full right now if all the people wearing green shirts were in here. The green shirts, Ignition shirts, the ones that are working with the kids right now. That is another way that you can care. And God has called you to be the light. And some of you need to be involved in ministry serving here. If you sit and take and absorb, that's all good for a time. But you also need to serve and give. Because it's just like, you know, just like individual needs. Why doesn't anybody help me? Well, don't be thinking about you. Think about how you can help other people. So ministry teams, there's lots of opportunities here. There's areas that you can serve. And if you're not sure, hey, this is my thing, how would I fit? There are lots of upfront things. There are lots of behind-the-scenes things. But getting involved in ministry is another thing. And then the third thing is MC3 Missions. And, of course, we talked about this in full a couple weeks ago. But MC3 Missions is a C3 opportunity, but globally. We are making a difference. We are caring for the children and the leaders of the Trigo y Miel feeding program in Oaxaca. So that is a C3 opportunity too. And you'll see that little C3 opportunity logo stuck to MC3 Missions because that's how we see it. It is a way to care for people. And then the last thing I want to tell you about is costly, Christmas, and chaotic. C3 opportunities are costly, Christmassy, and chaotic. These are in absolutely no relative connection, but they all have C's, so it makes sense. Scott asked me to do that. The costly part, and this is what we were saying earlier, if you're going to serve, if you're going to make a difference, if you're going to help people, if you're going to be a part of a C3 opportunity, it's going to cost you something. It probably will cost you time. It may cost you money. It may not cost you time, but will cost you money. Because that's the way it is. I know there was a need that was shared a few weeks ago about needing gas cards. And I've been watching people just dumping gas cards to the Coopers here to give to this individual. And I'm like, wow. That costs people money because there's a need. It's going to cost you something. And you can't sit back and say, well, let me do what doesn't cost me anything. It's not going to work because it is work. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your time. And again, am I saying you need to empty your bank account for the sake of a need? Maybe. I don't know. That's between you and God. But I am going to say that you can't sit back and think, well, I'm not going to do anything and it'll be okay. No, it's going to be costly. The second thing, and, of course, this is what we saw in the early church. They sold. Maybe they didn't have money. And we do this with our Project 1233 for missions. The early church sold possessions to give to those as needs. So maybe you don't have a lot of money, but you probably have stuff. Maybe you could sell something and give towards a need. And I know we've $19,000 worth of money that came in for our missions team last year to go to Oaxaca. A lot of that was from selling possessions. So it's costly. The second thing is that it's Christmas, just to let you know. Every year we have a Christmas project. And this year I was in touch with Forward Edge, and we've done things for Trigo y Miel. And they actually said, you know what, right now we don't have any concrete needs. And I was explaining how we're working on a partnership with the shelter services here in town. They said, why don't you focus on that at Christmas? I'm like, that is an awesome organization to be able to say, we don't want your money. Why don't you give it somewhere locally? And so we are pursuing that. You guys know last May we helped shelter services work, do some construction. And we are working actively in developing a partnership with them. So that's sort of our local way to make a difference here. And so Christmas project, we're going to have something to do with shelter services over on Depot Street there. We'll let you know more about that as it's coming. And then the last thing is that this is chaotic. And this bothers me the most. I put this in here for me because I want to have everything in forms, lines, arrows, boxes. And this whole C3 caring, C3 opportunities thing, it's kind of crazy. Because sometimes there's needs, and like, that is an incredible need, and we can't meet it. And other times we're like, wow, you guys already did that. And there's people meeting needs without even telling me about it. And I'm the pastor. And that's cool. That's the church, being the church. And so there's some chaos in all of this. And I acknowledge that openly. Sometimes people are going to be like, hey, can you give towards this? And you're like, I was just asked to give like three other things in the last couple months for my prime groups. I'm out. I'm literally spent. Okay, you know, so there's going to be some chaos. So I'm just kind of telling you it's chaotic. There's going to be room for grace there as well, just for your patience, because You know, we're trying very hard to make sure that we're not like every week, like, hey, here's a big need, give us money. Here's a big need, give us money. But trying to filter all that, and it's hard. So there's chaos here, and I'm just telling you that. There might be things that fly under the radar and get missed. There might be things that are in front of everybody. There are things that are happening, and you don't even know that they're happening, and they've happened. And that's okay. The point is that we are to be the light of the world and to let our light shine. And so that is why we have C3 opportunities. And yeah, there's some chaos involved in it. And we have to be comfortable with that. I have to be comfortable with that. But this is what God has called us to be. And so when it comes down to it, C3 opportunities are about caring locally. That is why we do them. This is what God has called us to do as a church. It's our program, if you will, but sometimes it happens and you don't even know it's happened. Sometimes it happens with primary, sometimes it happens church-wide. But God has called each of you and me to be the light and to make a difference. So let's fix this, right? We know this. Let's see what we can do here and do those things and meet those needs and help them. And again, I understand we're stewards. That's the issue. We're managers. There's only so much we've got. So let's decide what is the best way to do this. And maybe it's not for us. Maybe it's for the sake of someone else. So would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for your word. And I thank you that we have got a purpose, that we have got something worth offering, not because of who we are, but because of what you have done in us. I thank you that we are the light, we are the salt, and that we exist to shine light on you, to point people to you, and that we're not just here kind of managing, dealing with whatever. Each of us have been created and made to make a difference. And so I pray that you would help us. You would help the I in this room, the me in this room, to look around and see how we can be that light and how we can make a difference for you, shining the light on you, showing people that there is something unique about us, not because of what we've got, not because of our personality or our age or our money, but because of our Jesus. And so I pray that people would see that in us and praise you because of what we do. Help us to bridge that 3-foot gap between knowing and actually doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.